Psalm 22, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful Word of God. I thank you for this wonderful chapter out of your Word. What a tremendous portion of Scripture it is. And Father, I again ask you today to fill thy servant with the Holy Spirit of God, that he may preach in the power and boldness and compassion of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, I certainly ask for your direction this day. And Lord, give me wisdom as I preach, and Father, then also for attentive ears, that we might hear, Father, what you have to say to us. And Father, that those that might be here without Christ, O God, would understand their need of him. And Father, I pray for we as Christians, too, that we would be encouraged and helped and rebuked or whatever it might need this day to draw closer to thee. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I think most of you are probably familiar with the portion of Scripture here in the book of Psalms, 22nd chapter. It's a tremendous portion. In fact, you have a tendency to want to read the whole 22nd chapter, regardless whether you're going to preach from all of it or not. I did not choose to do that today, but it's a tremendous portion concerning the Messiah, the Son of God, and his death upon the cross of Calvary. We find the very first few verses where, as he did in the New Testament, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the message today that I want to preach is why prayer is not heard. I'm thinking this week, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking what a tragedy it would be to not be able to commune with God Almighty, to pray and not have him hear or listen or answer our prayer. I've said, I suppose, things like this before, but I don't know what I would do without the Lord. I don't know what I would do without his guiding in my life, and I don't know what I would do without his power and presence and his wonderful provisions for my life. He is wonderful and he is good, and he always provides for his people. You're a testimony of it. You're here today. You've been provided for. God has took care of you, has he not? Our God is always good. I've said it so many times, but I like saying it. God is good because that's what he is. He will never cease to be anything but good. No matter what happens in your life or my life, he's still good. Amen? God is always good because the Bible says he's good. Amen? And so he's good. He's a good God. And I think about then not being able to talk to him and not being able to get answers from him. And that would be a tragedy. I can't imagine having a sick child or a sick grandchild and not being able to immediately call out to God for help and know that he'll hear my prayer. I can't imagine that. Can't imagine some tragedy come into my life and I wouldn't be able to call out to God Almighty because he's the only one who can help me. And he would not want to answer my prayer. I can't imagine that. And so I'm saying to you, there is things even in the Christian life that hinders prayer, that hinders God listening and answering like he wants to. Now, there's no doubt about the fact that with the unbeliever, the reason he cannot hear their prayer is because they're not coming through Christ. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But he is willing to hear the prayer of repentance, coming to Christ, and receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He's willing to listen to that prayer. He's willing to hear you. But the unbeliever, my friend, does not have an open line to God. He may think he does, but he does not. Now, the Christian has an open line with God if he keeps things straight and keeps that line unclogged. Because there is some things that causes us not to have the right kind of prayer relationship that we ought to have with the Lord. So this morning, I want to bring a few things out that might stir your heart, might help you. Because above all, you and I need to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ to the point where no matter what happens in our life, we can call upon him and know he's going to hear us and answer our prayer. However he decides to answer it, he's going to answer our prayer. Understand? That's important. So first of all, we want to look at a few things, and we find here that, of course, when Jesus Christ on the cross called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason that God had forsaken him or turned his back on him at that time was because he was carrying all of our sin. And God cannot look upon sin with approval. God cannot do that. And Jesus Christ was carrying the sin of all the world. And here we find that the Son of God recognized that his heavenly Father had forsaken him as far as turning his back because of sin. That was our fault. That was our sin that was there. It was not his. It was ours. And so we find certainly that sin is the main culprit that gets us separated from our God. And so we need to understand, as a lost person, he needs to get that sin taken care of. He needs to come to Christ. He needs to be saved. He needs to be born into God's family so that God will hear his prayer. And as a Christian, we need to realize that we ought to not break fellowship with God. Sin will cause fellowship to break with God. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but you lose your fellowship, your close fellowship with the Lord. And so we find that there's unjudged iniquity. The Bible says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, the word regard there is a word that simply says, he says, if I regard iniquity, in other words, I approve of the iniquity that's in my heart. The word regard there speaks of approval of iniquity. It speaks of having respect for iniquity. In other words, if I have iniquity in my heart, it's there and I approve of it. I don't do anything about it. I just let it go. God says the Lord will not hear us. We need to understand that you may and I may fool around with sin, but let me tell you something, that displeases God and fellowship is broken. We need to know that if we're unsaved, that if there's sin in your heart, and certainly there is, you're a sinner, you need to understand that fellowship between you and God is impossible. The only way you can ever come to God is through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. I want to go back to the book of Isaiah in just a few moments, or forward to the book of Isaiah, to the first chapter. And I want to read to you something from God's Word. I want you to listen. The reason God would not hear Israel. In verse number 10, he says, the first chapter of Isaiah, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. If you'll notice, God is trying to get the people here to hear his word. And he says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, and abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. And he says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. If you will notice, God is reprimanding Israel, and he's even mentioned some of the things that he instituted himself. Some of the feasts and the oblations that was to be brought before him. He's talking about it, and he says, I hate them. Why does God hate something that he told Israel to do? It's because the way they were doing it, God hated it. Listen, he says in verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. If you notice, God tells them, he says, I hate those feasts and the oblations, those things that you're bringing before me, those new moons and all of this other thing. And he says, I will not hear you. But look in verse 16, what he says to do to get them to hear him again, for him to hear them again. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he's simply saying this. He's saying the reason that I don't accept all of those things from you is because you're not clean. You're not a clean people. And God says what you need to do is wash you, make you clean. And he's simply saying, I'll hear you again. What I'm saying to you folks is listen very carefully. We think we get by with sin in our life. We do not get by with it. It causes a terrible breach between us and God. You must understand if you want God to hear your prayers, you're going to live a clean life. Now, you're going to say to me, Brother Ross, I'm not perfect. No, is anybody else in here perfect? But when there's sin regarded or approved of, you give respect to sin in your heart, you leave it there, you do nothing about it, it breaks fellowship with God Almighty. And what I'm simply saying, what does God want for you and I? He wants us to be clean. And again, I say, don't you want to have God to hear your prayers? Don't you want to be able to call out to God at any time and say, I know God's going to hear me, not because I'm perfect, but because of the righteousness of His Son. But I am walking and following with Him in this life. They're not hiding sin in my life so that there won't be that sweet fellowship between me and God. Don't you understand that God expects us to be clean folk when we get saved? You see? And so this unjudged iniquity in our life, you've got to understand there has to be something done about that. You want real fellowship with the Lord, there's got to be something done about it. The Bible says in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He's simply saying is, what do I want from you? What kind of sacrifices does He want from His people? He wants broken hearts over sin. He wants broken, contrite hearts. The word contrite means crushed. He wants a heart that's so crushed and broken down over their sin, not somebody else's, but their sin, that they'll come to God. And that's what God expects. That's the sacrifices that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for a clean folk who's willing to give their sin over to Him and be sorrowful for that, broken over their sin, you see. God wants the unbeliever, of course, to agree with God that there's sin in their life and that they are a sinner and they need to come to Christ. But let me say to you, for the Christian, he also needs to judge his sin. I think it was last week, it was on Easter evening, we had communion service. One of the main things in communion services is for us to judge our life, to examine our life, and to see if there's things between us and the Lord. If there is, we need to get them taken care of, get them forgiven before the Lord, and come clean before Him, you see. We need to judge the sin of our life. Not only that, over in the book of James, if you'd like to turn over there, please, the book of James, the first chapter, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Once again, there's something that keeps us from getting things from God, and that's just simple unbelief. We don't ask in believing. Folks, we need to come before God Almighty believing that God will do exactly what we've asked Him to do as long as it's within the will of God for our life, if it's a proper request. And let me say to you, God in through His Word tells us if we will live for Him, if we will abide in Him, we can ask what we will. And that's a tremendous scripture, because what He's saying to us is if we will abide in Him, we'll know what to ask. It's kind of like the little girl that came to a prayer meeting. They was going to have prayer because there'd been such a drought in the land, and so they was going to have prayer for rain. The little girl walked in the door with an umbrella in her hand. And I believe that's the kind of faith that God wants His people to have. Doesn't want us to come wavering in our faith. Come asking and wavering, wonder if God will do it for us or not. No, God wants us to believe Him and trust Him and know that He loves us and He's a great God and He can provide for us the things that we need in this life. In the same book there, in the book of James, the fourth chapter, you'll find in verse number 2, he says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And what he's simply telling us there, is simply we ask more out of the lust of our heart than we do of things that we really know spiritually needs done. We're asking out of love for pleasures of this world. And too many times we spend much of our time in prayer asking for the materialistic things instead of the blessings of God upon our life. I was over visiting with Don and I was over visiting with my brother and his wife this week. They both are in the hospital. They could write a book about things that's happened in their life. I mean, seriously, he's been struck with lightning. Here about a year ago, a fellow came into his house and or came right up to the back door, and he was there, and he tried to rob him, and he got cut here on his stomach, and he was trying to, now remember, he's 70 years old, and he was trying to defend himself, and he got cut here on his stomach. And the other day, a truck went around the corner of near their house, sits on the corner, and a truck went around, and he lost control of it and went right through the front room. And out outside the front room window was a gas main, or the regulator. And when he hit it, it blew up and caused fire all over the house and burned into the front room. And anyway, I started to say, so happened. It wasn't so happened. God had him out of that room. My brother usually sits right in the front of that window. That's where he always sits. And it was on Easter. And he had been, Easter afternoon, and he'd been sitting there, I'm sure he would have been killed. But both of them, just moments before that, had decided to go into another room. Now, that God decided that, I'm sure. But they went into another room. One of them went into the kitchen. One of them went into the bedroom. One of them was going to lay down. Wasn't feeling good, very good. My sister-in-law is in very serious condition, and looks like it won't. She probably may not live the summer out, but she's very serious. My brother also is very ill. And so anyway, they had just got up and went in there. And so God protected them. God took care of them. And we was discussing this and talking about it. And we got on children. We got on families. We got talking about how important our families are, and our children, our grandchildren. And she said, you know, she said back years ago when we was raising our children, she said, we drove to a church quite a few miles so that we could be in a church that would help our children grow in the Lord. So there was churches all around. But we drove, and I can't remember even if she said, she may have said the amount of miles, I do not remember it if she did. But she said, we drove a lot of miles just to get to that church because we knew that that church would help us in the training of our children. They would do some things with our children. She said, I've been so thankful for that ever since, that they made that decision to do that, because both of the children then accepted Christ as their Savior, born again. So I'm simply saying to you folks, the love of pleasure, you may love pleasure, but let me say something to you. There's a lot of things that's a lot more important than the pleasures of this world. And I'm not going to get done preaching against them. These pleasures of this world just simply draw you into its trap. And you need to put spiritual things first and realize the things of God are more important than the pleasures of this world. You need to understand that. And yet, because the Bible tells us in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I say to you, that's true all over America. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You got to learn that God has some standards. And God expects His people to be lovers of Him more than lovers of pleasures, you see. So I'm simply saying to you, that's going to hinder our prayer. Because the Word of God speaks there of that we consume it upon our lust. We don't receive from God because we consume it upon our lust. We're more interested in the things of this world and the pleasures of this world than we are the things of God. And I say to you folks, that'll hinder your prayers. You need to realize, you need to be a spiritual Christian. You need to love God and walk with God. Remember here a while back, I'd stopped at a restaurant. And I was away from here, and I'd stopped at a restaurant, and I pulled up beside a van of young people, and they had the name of their church right across their van, you know. And so I was getting out approximately the same time, and they was all kind of, you know how young people do, and later they was running in and rushing into the restaurant to get them something to eat. And so when I got in, I got there, and I just kind of watched them, you know. And I noticed that when they got their food, they'd run over and just sit down and start eating. There was no thank you to the Lord whatsoever. And I didn't see one of them. Now, I guess I could have missed somebody. But I didn't see a one of them just stop and bow their head and say, thank you, Lord. What a testimony that would be to the unsaved. Amen? See, man, this is a church people coming in here, and all they was thinking about was getting them something to eat, you know, afraid to stop, I guess, and say thank you to the Lord. I say to you folks, listen, we better get back to those old days of being thankful and grateful for what God's done for us, because He has done wonderful things for us. We better get our eyes off of those pleasures of the world and back upon the things of God and become lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure. You see, that hinders your prayer. You want things to hinder your prayer life? Just put the world ahead of God, you see, and your prayer life will be hindered. Not only that, and I'm not going to turn to this verse, but let me read you a verse in the book of Job, the 35th chapter, 12th verse of Job. He says, there they cry, but listen to this, there they cry, but none giveth answer. because of the pride of evil men. The Word of God teaches that pride will hinder God hearing you and answering you. And let me say to you, pride is something that every individual in this room has to face. But he better deal with it, or God will. Pride is something that Satan was guilty of when he wanted to be like the Most High God. And I say to you, pride is in every individual. Every human being has to deal with pride. But you better learn how to deal with it. You better put yourself humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and learn to let God deal with that pride in your life. Because pride will cause God not to hear you like he wants to hear you. Pride is a horrible thing. You see, for pride to be in an unbeliever's heart, and truly that is true, it is a terrible thing. But for a Christian to be prideful is a terrible thing. Folks, you and I have nothing to be proud of. If we want to just give praises, we better give praises unto the Lord. He's the one that's done it, not us. It isn't anything you and I have done. Amen? It's what Jesus has done that's important, you understand? And so we get so prideful, we think we're the big shots, you know, we're the ones that do this and that. My friend, all that'll do is hinder your prayers. You think God's going to listen to that pride in your life? Get rid of that stuff out of your life and give your heart to the Lord and realize he's the one that matters. He's the one that can help you and can do all things. And he's the one that receives the honor and the glory, not you and I, you see? And the Bible will teach us, you see, that pride will cause us not to be heard of God. And I say to you, get rid of that pride. Not only that, we can be indifferent. I mean, we can just be at apathy about things. And it's going to cause us to not have the right kind of prayer life. Let me just give you an illustration. Do you care about your loved ones? Let's say mom and dad and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and all kinds of grandma and grandpas and all kinds. I mean, do you want them to go to hell? Does anybody here want them to go to hell? You see, there's no one loves your family like you do. Somebody else can pray for them and love them to a certain extent, but no one loves family like family loves family. And I'm saying to you, what do you think about this? If you're just indifferent, you don't spend time in prayer, you don't ask God to do something for your family, you don't try to reach them for Christ yourself, do you think that God's going to answer all of your prayers and say, well, don't worry about it, son. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pray about it. I'll get somebody else to do it. Foolishness. We are responsible for our families. We are responsible for reaching those people who we know are unsaved. We are responsible for taking the wonderful Word of God to them, you see. Not be indifferent. Folks, I want to stir your heart to this. You hear it from me all the time. But listen to me. God holds you accountable. You don't want to stand before God one of these days and say to him, well, I just didn't take the time. I was too scared. I didn't want to worry about it. Going to see this loved one of mine and telling them about Jesus Christ. I say to you, my dear friend, you better listen up. You better understand God holds you and I accountable for a gospel witness to those whom we know are lost. Amen? And I say to you, folks, please, you see, you're not concerned. Why should God be concerned? If you're not concerned, if you don't care, why should God be concerned? I know He is. I know God cares. And in fact, the Word of God tells us, though, to ask and to seek and to knock. And you know what that means? That means just keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Don't quit. You say, no one's getting saved. Just keep doing it. See, that brother of mine needs to be saved. Just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. You just got to do that. Amen. And you got to be right with God to do that. I mean, you got to have your right relationship with the Lord if you want your prayers answered. You regard iniquity in your heart, God's not going to answer your prayers. I'm simply saying to you, Christian, get your life cleaned up. Walk with God. Serve the Lord. See, so that God can answer those prayers that He wants to answer for you. Let's go over to the book of Mark, the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. 11th chapter of the book of Mark. I want to show you something else that hinders prayer being answered. I want you to listen up. Chapter 11, verse number 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You've got to remember, he's talking to God's people here. He's talking to people who say, God is my Father. Now, I'm saying to you that an unforgiving spirit is something that's going to hinder your prayers. You say, well, will God forgive me? Everything is forgiven if you're a Christian under the blood of Jesus Christ. But relationship-wise, though, is going to be hindered when you're unwilling to forgive those who has done something against you. You and I have no right to hold a grudge. You and I's sin took Jesus Christ and placed him on the cross. And what we done to him, my dear friend, is a lot worse than what anybody has ever done to us. And God says, forgive. You have a forgiving spirit. They may not always accept your forgiveness. That doesn't matter. It's what you have in your heart. You have to be willing in your heart to forgive folk no matter what they've done to you. And if you want God to answer your prayers, you want God, you want a close relationship with God, get rid of that old spirit that's blaming somebody else for something. Get rid of that bitterness out of your life. And God can once again draw you near him and answer your prayers and do the things he wants to do in your life. He's talking to his children here. He's not talking to the world. And I'm saying unto you, listen to me, folks. Be willing to forgive those who's done things to you. Aren't you glad Jesus did for you? Aren't you glad on the cross he didn't look down and say, that's a terrible thing you did. I just can't forgive it. I'm going to die here, but it ain't going to be for you. Thank God he didn't do that. And thank God he expects us to have the same forgiving spirit that he had. You want your prayers answered? Get rid of that unforgiving spirit that's in our life. Not only that, in the book of Proverbs, I'd like for you to turn there with me, 28th chapter of the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to read verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. I'd like to speak with you a moment about neglect of hearing the Word of God. The Bible says if you turn away your ear from hearing the law, he says your prayer will be an abomination. See, there's a lot of folks who thinks it's all right to never read their Bibles and never come to church. And to never hear the Word of God. And they think they get by with that thing and they still call themselves Christians. But the Word of God says their prayer will be an abomination to them. Are you unwilling to listen to the Word of God? Are you unwilling to read its wonderful precepts? Are you unwilling to come to a church service where the Word of God is preached and to a Sunday school class where it's taught? Are you unwilling to do that and yet you think then you can go to God and ask Him anything you want to ask Him? Neglect of the Word of God, neglect of reading it and studying it and hearing it of the Word of God, folks, is a terrible thing to God. This is His Word He gave us. This is the instructions, the letters that He's written to us. And we don't want to hear them. We want nothing to do with them. My dear friend, that's a horrible thing to tell God Almighty. God loves you dearly, but listen, you think you're going to just push God off and push His Word off and say, I don't want to hear the Word of God? And I'm sorry to say this because I'm probably talking to the wrong folk because you're here today. But let me say to you, keep being here. Keep listening. Keep reading the Bible, the Word of God. And then these people out here that don't want nothing to do with God's house, don't want nothing to do with preaching. My dear friend, and yet they still state, oh, that's all right. I still pray every night. Well, God says your prayer is an abomination to Him. Right. You understand? One more thing. Over in 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. First verse, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want to take just a moment or two and speak to the husbands and wives, and to the future husbands and wives that's in this congregation. Whether you realize it or not, the relationship you have with your wife and the relationship you have with your husband matters much concerning prayer. He is not just talking about verse 7, talking about just how the husband ought to behave, but he also talks in verse 1 through 6 how the wife ought to behave. But he does talk to the husband. And he says that the husband is to dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The relationship that you and your husband have in your home is going to matter a lot on how your prayers are heard. A bad relationship between a husband and wife is going to cause prayers to be hindered. That's why it's so important that every husband and wife draw near to one another, love one another, care for one another, treat each other with dignity and kindness and love, and show respect for one another, so that God would be pleased with that relationship we have. You don't want your prayers hindered, folks. But let me say to you, there's many prayers that are hindered in families today because the husbands and wives will not draw near one another. They will not love one another, and they will not treat one another with dignity and kindness. And I say to you, because of that, many prayers are hindered. It's very, very important, ladies, that you listen and you read that portion of Scripture and you mind it. You do what God says, not what some man tells you to do. But you turn your life over to the Lord, and you be in subjection to your husband. And the husband also love the wife and do right and treat her with kindness and grace. That's what God says to do. And he says, if you don't do that, your prayers are going to be hindered. I don't want your prayers hindered. I want immediately for you to go to the Lord and call out to God and ask God for help and God to answer just like that when it's needed to be answered. You understand what I'm saying? Keep a sweet relationship, and that takes two people doing that. It's not just one-sided. Marriage is not 50-50, it's 100-100. You give 100%, he gives 100%. That's the way God intends it. There's going to be days that your wife won't probably give 100%. She may only give 75. There's going to be days that your husband only gives 75. But let me say to you, you give 100. You just keep on giving. You just keep on doing. You keep that relationship sweet, and they'll pick back up their end. You understand what I'm saying? I'm simply saying you don't want your prayers hindered. Have a sweet relationship between you and your wife or your husband. Keep it there. Keep it right before God. And God will bless that and honor that in the married life. You see, there's a lot of things can hinder us and our prayers being heard. And folks, I don't know about you, but we're living in a time when I don't want any hindrance in my prayers. Now, don't get me wrong. You say, Brother Ross, does you ever do anything wrong? Certainly I do. But I want to tell you something. I do my best to get it straightened out as soon as I can. I don't want hindrances in my life. I want me to go to God anytime I can go to him and ask him. Call out to him and know that the line is open. And there's not hindrances there. Understand? Well, you got to work on those things. You can't just stop and just say, well, just let things will fall into place. No, you work at marriage. You work at it. Every day of your life, you work at it. To do it like God wants you to do it. So I'm saying to you once again, don't you want God to hear your prayers? Don't you want that? I mean, don't you want to be able to call out to him and ask him? And well, when he shows you some things that's in your life that shouldn't be there, why don't you get them straight? See, he loves you very much. He just wants you to get those things straight, get them right, get right relationship with the Lord so that you can be close to him and cry out to him and your prayers won't be hindered. Amen?